Let's do this. Let's pray as we dive into the Word of God today. I believe that God has a great word for each and every one of us. I believe it's a word that's going to provide us with fuel, with motivation to do what God has called us to do. It's just going to be a good word this morning. Are you ready? Say, yes, I'm ready. Yes, I'm ready. Bring it. So, Lord, we just thank you for this time together. And, Lord, we just give you this time. We just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would be the difference maker, that it would be your presence that would be speaking to people's hearts through the Word of God this morning. We just pray that our hearts would be receptive soil. It would be good soil. So when the seed is thrown out, that it will fall in good soil. And as a result, the Word says there'll be a production, a crop of 40, 60, even 100-fold. So Lord, this isn't up to me. I've done what I need to do this week. I've prepared, I prayed. And now, Holy Spirit, we need you to do what only you can do. So just do your work in this place today. Bring the Word alive. Give the Word a heartbeat. Give the Word a pulse. May it just become life and breath in us today. And we just thank you for this time together. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Well, what we're going to do today is we're starting a new collection of talks. It's going to be about 3 weeks in length. And what we're going to do is we're going to call this new series, this new collection, Pray First. So can we all say that together, everyone? Pray First. And this is Pray First. That's going to be the new title of this collection of talk. And in this series, what we're doing is my goal is really simple. I'm just going to share with you the goal right off the bat so we're all on the same page. We're all tracking together. The goal of this series is that we, all of us, will come to a place in our day-to-day life where, just as Nolan said 2 weeks ago so well, this is the goal, that each one of us will say prayer is our first response, not our last resort. Can we read that together? Prayer is our first response, not our last resort. And that's the whole goal of this series, because if we're honest with ourselves, it's usually the opposite. We usually face something and we try to figure it out in our own might, our own power. And if you're anything like me, then you say, okay, God, I've kind of messed this one up bigger than it was already. And it's at those times, usually, we say, okay, I'm going to use prayer, but it's not a first response, it's a last resort. So my challenge to each and every one of us, myself is so much involved in this conversation, is that we want to be people that say we're going to pray first. We're not going to make it our last resort, we're going to make it our first response. So here's the goal. When we're faced with a decision, and maybe it's a decision that's going to impact our lives for years to come, it may be the decision who I'm going to marry, who I'm going to date, where I'm going to go to school, am I going to keep this job, am I going to look for a new job, am I going to make a big purchase. Before we do those things, here's what I want to encourage us to do, and everyone said, pray first. Okay, here's another one. Before we send the email, before we send the text or the letter that we wrote in a moment of anger, in a moment of rage, before we send that text, email, or letter, what we're going to do is we're going to do what? Everybody together, pray first. Here's another one. Before we post something on Facebook, is everybody with me now? Before we post something on Facebook or before we post something on Instagram that doesn't glorify God, what are we going to do? Pray first. Is everybody with me? Say, pray first. We're going to pray first. We're going to make that the top priority. Before you go into that meeting, and you may have a big meeting this week, or you may be facing a challenging conversation, what are we going to do? Everybody said, we're going to what? Pray first. Maybe this week you may receive some bad news, some unexpected news. There's going to be something you didn't think would ever happen. You're going to receive some news this week, and you're going to be faced with the response, I want to ask you to do what? Pray first. Before you just spout off at the mouth and you begin to say things out of hurt, out of frustration, you begin to share your feelings, and you just kind of let it go out without thinking about it, what do I want to encourage you to do? I want to encourage you to what? Pray first. Maybe when you're facing a big, big challenge. I mean, Nolan talked about this so well when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember the story? And he was about ready to face the most horrific day of his life. He was going to go to the cross where he would die for our sins. What we're going to do is we're going to follow Jesus' example, and we're going to do what? We're going to pray first. I think you get the idea. So the whole idea behind this series is, why don't we just stop and consider, before doing it our way, before trying to figure out things on our own, before coming with our own solutions, our own resources, our own ability, what we're asking is to stop and think about it and pray first. Because imagine this with me. Imagine what difference it would make in our lives if we would take the time before responding first that we would pray first. I think if we would pray first, it would be a huge game changer in our life. It could change everything. The trajectory of everything could be changed if we would pray first. I don't know about you. There's a lot of situations in my life where I wish I would have prayed first. And if I would have, it would have saved me some embarrassment. It would have saved me some regret. It would have saved a little disappointment. For example, I wish I would have never said I would wear this shirt every Sunday in 2019. What I didn't do was what? Pray first. Now I'm like, is this the only shirt I own? No, I have nice shirts in my closet. I'm like, oh, I don't want to wear that this shirt one more week, but I didn't pray first. But that's a small thing. In our lives, how many times have we done something? Big things, small things, and everything in between. And the first thing we did is we relied on our own intuition, our own ideas, our own thoughts, our own resources. And somewhere down the line, we found that we got ourselves in some trouble. We got ourselves in a mess. And what I'm suggesting that we do in this series is that before we make these big decisions, before we enter into these situations, that we'll be people who will stop and pray first, okay? But here's the deal. If you're like me, you had the privilege of growing up in church. I'm so thankful for my parents. I'm so thankful for my upbringing. But when I was growing up in church, I was always told, you have to pray. You got to pray. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to pray. How many people have heard that message in church before? We pray. That's what we do. We pray, we pray, we pray. And here's the deal. When we hear that, sometimes it almost leads to, oh, I'm not doing what they're telling me. And as a result, I feel like I'm guilty. I feel like I'm a lesser Christian than the person that seems to pray more than me. And I feel like, oh, God, I'm not meeting up to the mark of what you want. I haven't been praying. And here's what I think has happened. We've been told so many times in our life, you got to pray. You got to pray. You got to pray. You got to pray. We got to do this. But how many times have you heard a sermon where somebody told you why pray? Because as Simon Sinek says, the why is the motivation behind why we do things. The why is so important. So what I want to do today is I want to share a sermon with you that basically I'm calling Why Pray. Because it's not just about, hey, because we've been told so. I don't know about you, but when you were growing up and your parents told you to do something, how many people remember these conversations and your dad just came back and he said what? Because I said so. How many people know that wasn't very thrilling? You weren't like, yeah, that's awesome, Dad, because you said so, I'm all on board. But when somebody took the time to tell you the why we're telling you to do this, and that's what I want to do this morning in this message, is I want to hopefully raise your level of encouragement, to raise your level of motivation, not only telling you that it's important that we pray, but what I want to do today is I simply want to communicate a message of why. Why is it important that we pray, okay? So why should we pray? Think about it. Think about it. Because when we're told why to pray, if you're like me and like a lot of people, there's several questions that come into our mind when people tell us you should pray. I want to look at some questions that are commonly asked. They may not be asked out loud, but I think a lot of times, at least subconsciously, when we're told to pray, we ask ourselves these questions. For example, we ask ourselves, why pray? Isn't God going to do what he wants anyway? Come on. I think we could all say that we've thought that before. I've been told to pray, but why? Isn't God going to do what he wants anyway? And We may not say that, but we think that subconsciously we believe this, and the proof is in our prayer life or lack thereof. Isn't God going to do what he wants anyway? Here's another question we often ask is, come on, Mike, can my prayers actually change things? I mean, if I really take the time out, are they going to actually change my spouse? Come on, am I the only one? We're just being real here. Heather's down in the Explorers class. Don't tell her anything, okay? By the way, it may surprise you, your spouse is praying the same prayer. Just a thought. Just, it could happen, okay? But can my prayers actually change my children? And I do want to stop there, and I want to just give you some passionate counsel. Will you please hear me? I believe, and I don't want to jump too far ahead, yes, your prayers can change your children. Can I get an amen? Amen? Your prayers can change your children. And here's what I want to say with love. Is everybody listening? This is from the heart of a pastor that loves you. I think your prayers can actually do much more than your nagging. Oh, no, did he really say that? Oh, yes, he did. I really believe that the greatest resource we have in raising our kids is not by being what I would call a micromanager. And I feel some of you are about ready to get up and walk out right now. I believe the greatest resource you can have in raising your kids is prayer. Yes, as we were raising Grant and Nolan, we had guidelines that were strong, but as they got older, we just began to pray more, saying, God, as they prepare to leave, God, you do the work in their life. Folks, your prayers do change things. They can change your attitude. They can change your heart. Prayers can change our country. Amen? Prayer does change things, but that's a question we ask. Here's another one. This may almost seem like it's blasphemy, and that is, can God's will on earth be frustrated or not accomplished if I don't pray? That, my friends, you don't even know how big of a question that is. I can tell because you're not responding by jumping and hollering right now. You know what I mean? But the question is, can God's will on earth be frustrated or not accomplished if I don't pray? And these questions, and I believe other questions like this, they deserve answers. Because I've discovered the why of doing something can be a great motivating force. So I'm not here to tell you one more time, you better pray. That's what God wants you to do. Yes, we need to be obedient, but I want to just give you some motivation from Scripture that tells us why we pray. Because if I understand why I should pray, you know what I'm going to do? If I really understand why I should pray, I might wake up 15 minutes earlier, set my alarm 15 minutes earlier to say, hey, God, we're going to have a time of prayer. If I really believe in why we should pray, I may even, believe this or not, I may miss a couple of meals. And everybody said, no way. I may miss a couple of meals if I really understand the motivation behind why we should pray. When we understand the why and the difference it can make, we're going to be excited about this. So back to the question, why pray? Think about it. Does a sovereign God, does a supreme God really need our involvement or not? Think about it for yourself. Does a sovereign God really need your involvement? Is prayer really necessary? If so, why? I want to share a quote with you that just really helped me this week by E.M. Bounds. Who is E.M. Bounds? He's an author. He was an attorney. He was a pastor of old, brilliant mind. And this is what he says about why pray. He said, God shapes the world by prayer. Enough is enough, but he gives us more. He says, the more praying there is in the world, the better the world will be. The mightier the forces against evil. Why is that important? Because we're in a spiritual battle, my friends. It's not against flesh and blood, but it's against powers and principalities. And he goes on to say, the prayers of God's saints are the capital stock of heaven by which God carries out his great work upon earth. God conditions the very life and prosperity of his cause, by prayer. So here what we see is the answer to our question. And I'll rephrase the answer a little different. Why pray? Here's why we pray. We pray because God works through the prayers of his people. I want to let you know, when you spend time, you set aside time to pray, God hears. And when you pray, God begins to do things. I rephrased it like this in my quiet time this week. When we pray, God moves. When we pray, God moves. And his movement may not always look the way you think it should look. How many people know he is all-knowing and he is all-powerful? But when we pray, God moves. When we pray, things happen. See, prayer is your greatest resource. It doesn't matter your network of people. If I can connect to the right network, it doesn't matter about the size of your bank account. If I had more money, your greatest resource, hands down, is you have a relationship with your Father, and you can come to your Father. That's why Jesus taught us the first line of the Lord's Prayer is what? Everybody together, our Father. So we have this great resource, and it's called prayer. But I think the enemy loves to get us confused and get us a misconception of what prayer is, so we don't use our greatest tool, and tool is our greatest resource. Actually, if we had the time here this morning, or if you had the time in your own private time to study the Bible from cover to cover, if you had the time to look from Revelations to our Genesis to the book of Revelation, you're going to see a pattern throughout Scripture. And the pattern that you would see out throughout Scripture is that God has chosen from the very time of creation to work on the earth. Listen, everybody, don't miss this. This is huge. God has chosen to work on the earth through people. Everybody say that together, through people. So God, from the very beginning, Genesis to Revelation, if you were to read the book in its entirety, all 66 books, you would see there's this blueprint, there's this pattern, and that is that God chooses to work through people, not independent of people. For example, we could give you 1,000 examples. One example, his people, the Israelites, are in captivity in where? Egypt, for over 400 years. They're crying out to God, please, Lord, come and save us. What does God do? Does he come and just destroy the Egyptians with a lightning bolt? No, what does he do? He raises up what? A person. He raises up Moses. Moses is going to be the vehicle that God uses to deliver his people. Why? Because God has chosen throughout time to use people, not to work independent of people, but to work through people. That's why we see in the Old Testament, we see there's kings, there's prophets, there's all these people that God chooses to do his work through, okay? And I want you to get this. Even at the point, and even at the cost that God became a person, Jesus became God in the flesh, fully God, fully man. Why? Because God chooses to work through people. Even when he came with his redemptive plan to offer salvation, he chose a person. He chose his son, fully God to come, fully man to come and deliver us. So even though God is sovereign, even though he is powerful, Scripture clearly tells us that he has limited himself. It's kind of an interesting situation concerning the affairs of life to working through people, not independent of people. Now listen up, I want to tell you this. The plan hasn't changed. The plan hasn't changed. There's things that God wants to do in your family. There's things that God wants to do in your life. There's things that God wants to do in your marriage. There's things that God wants to do in our city. There's things that God wants to do in the world. And the plan is still this, that God is choosing. He wants to use people. And I want to let you know today, if you're a follower of Christ, one of the people that God chooses to use is you. Amen. God wants to use you. Because why? He chooses to use people. The plan hasn't changed. And that's why work is just more than earning a paycheck. That's why it's just more than all the things we get caught up in. The plan is that God's plan hasn't changed. He wants to use us. And one of the primary plans that God uses to work through people is through prayer. God uses people to pray, something that we can all do. And not only does God work through prayers, God needs our prayers. He needs our prayers. Okay? And I want to let you know today I have several examples that we could take from the Bible. Several examples where we could take from the Bible where it shows that God is needing our prayers. But we only have time for one. So what we're going to do is, don't turn there, but if you want to, you can go to 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings is a great example of how God needed somebody to pray. Okay? So I want you to listen very carefully to the story. 1 Kings chapter 18. is the story of God needing and using a person to accomplish his will through prayer. What we're going to see in this story is we're going to see the story of the prophet Elijah. And he's praying in this story for rain. We need to understand there's been this drought that's been going on for about 3 to 3.5 years. And actually, the same story that we see in 1 Kings, James, the half-brother of Jesus, talks about in the book of James. And I want to read this, okay? James chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. Let's pick it up, verse 16. It says, listen, guys, the earnest prayers of a righteous person. You say, well, that disqualifies me. I'm not righteous. Well, how many people know our righteousness is in Jesus, okay? You need to understand this. The earnest prayer of a righteous person, check this out, has great power. The prayers of a righteous person have great power, and they produce wonderful results. So get that. Then he goes on to tell the story we're going to look at in a few minutes, Elijah. He was a man. He was as human as we are. So it wasn't like he was Superman. He wasn't this superhero. He was just like you. And you would say, well, you don't know me. I'm kind of messed up. Well, you don't know Elijah. He was kind of messed up. You're going to find in 1 Kings 19 and 20 how he was real emotional, messed up. So God uses all of us, amen? And yet, when he prayed earnestly, check out what happened. He prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, and none fell for 3 years and for 3.5 years. The next verse. Then, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. So what we see is we're going to see that James is looking back on this story that we're going to read here in 1 Kings. So I want to get this real quick. So if you go to 1 Kings, I want to just read one verse for you. It's verse 1 of chapter 18. You need to know the context. God has sent judgment upon his people, their disobedience. There's been this drought. No rain has come. No crops have been produced. I want you to look at verse 1. Can we read this together? I think there'd be greater impact if we all read together. Everybody, 1, 2, 3. God, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the face of the earth. That's what God said. He said, hey, go show yourself. Go show yourself. It wasn't God show yourself. It was go show yourself. Everybody together again. Go. Go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the face of the earth. And then if you read through the rest of the chapter, there's these mighty miracles of how Elijah goes against the 500 prophets of Baal. It's a great story. And after several other events have occurred in this chapter, we see at the end of the chapter that Elijah prays 7 times. There's a lesson in that too. He prayed 7 times, and then we're told that finally the rain came. So there's a drought for 3.5 years. God says to Elijah, hey, you go show yourself to Ahab. Who is he? He's a wicked king. Go show yourself to him, and then I will send rain to the face of the earth. I'm going to keep that verse up there because I have a question for you. And please don't answer the question out loud because I want everybody to formulate the answer on their own. And that is, here's the question. According to this verse, whose idea was it to send the rain? This is where we need some Jeopardy music. Da, 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 da. Look at the verse. Whose idea was it to send the rain? I want to let you know, it wasn't Elijah's idea. So everybody together, whose idea was it? It was God's idea. So God has this plan. The drought's going to end. I want you to go to the king, and I want you to tell him I'm going to send the rain. So what we see here clearly in this verse, I want you to get this because it's so important in your life. Because this is going to apply to your life. It's going to apply to our church, our city. It wasn't Elijah's, it was God's idea. And here's the question I need to ask you. Then why, if it was God's idea, why would it take Elijah and his prayers to bring the rain? God, this is your idea. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I believe there's a lot of things that God wants to do in your life. And there's a lot of things that God wants to do in your family, in your workplace. There's a lot of things that God wants to do in our church. And they're his ideas. They're not our ideas. They're his ideas. They're things that God wants to do. See, the only logical answer to the question of why Elijah needed to pray is simple. And that is that God has chosen, as we saw earlier in this message, God has chosen to do what? Work through people. Work through people. One writer says this, even when it's the Lord himself initiating something, even when it's the Lord himself earnestly desiring to do it, he still waits upon a person who will come and pray, who will come and ask. Andrew Murray, a great mind of the past, he said it this way, and I want you to get this. He said, God's giving is inseparably connected with your asking. You can't separate God's giving, his work. It's connected to you asking. Only by prayer can the power be brought down from heaven, which will enable the church to conquer the world. So here's what Andrew Murray and all these great minds are saying. He's saying there's this connection. There's things that God initiates. There's things that God wants to do. And here's why we should pray. We should pray because God works through the prayers of his people, even when it's something that he wants to do. Even when it's something that we would say, God, we know that this is your will. He's still looking for people who will come and pray. He's looking for partnership. And we have that opportunity each and every day to come into partnership with God in prayer and say, God, I know there's things you want to do, and I'm not seeing them. God, I believe there's more. I wrote in my quiet time this week, I believe that there's things in each one of your lives here this morning. I believe there's something in each one of your lives here this morning, in each one of your marriages, in each one of your families. There's things that's going on right here in this world. There's things right here at Journey Church that God wants to do, and you'd be surprised. You'd be shocked. You would be overwhelmed with the beauty, the power of things that God wants to do through you because he works through people. Yet I believe with all my heart that I believe this. I believe that God is waiting on a people. As it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, he's looking for a people that will humble themselves and they will pray and they will seek after his face and they will turn from their wicked ways. God is wanting to involve you in the equation for the answer. And I don't know about you, but that is just amazing motivation. Could it be, God, the very thing that's keeping you from doing what you want to do? Could it be the very thing that's keeping God from doing what he wants to do is not God? Could it be that it's us? Could it be he's waiting for somebody who will take the time to pray? And I know some of you, you're saying this. You say, well, bless you. You're saying, hey, I prayed about this once. I prayed about this twice. But if you go back to the text, you'll see that Elijah prayed how many times? Everybody say seven. Seven times Elijah prayed. And the author of one book I read this week said, why? Because he believes that it's kind of like we gain this momentum. It's warfare, and you got to keep pressing in. You got to keep fighting. You got to keep pushing. And sometimes it's just not one and done. Sometimes it is one and done. I love one and done prayers. I don't like the times where it takes seven times or eight times or, God, I've been praying for this situation 500 times. There's a couple prayer requests on my prayer list, if you were to see it, that they're daily. They're, God, this needs, God, would you please help us in this area? God, would you please help me in this area? Help my kids in this area? Help Heather and I in this area? And folks, I believe a lot of these things are lining up perfectly with the will of God. And what he's waiting for is a people to pray. I could give you example. We all know that God wants there to be a great harvest, but what did he say? He said, pray to the Lord of the harvest, that he would send workers. We know that workers are the will of God to go into the harvest, but what does he say? He says, I need people to pray. I need people to get in there because we're engaged in a battle, you guys. It's not a battle of things that we see, but the writer of Ephesians, Paul, says that we're in a spiritual battle, guys, and there is a real enemy. There's a real enemy that's out to torment, and he's fighting for your soul, and he's fighting for you to be discouraged, and there's a real enemy. Our tool against the enemy, one of the weapons, the greatest weapons, is we need to be people of prayer. We need to fight the battle in prayer. We need to believe God. We need to say, God, we know this is what you want to do. We just want to align ourselves. We want to ask of you. And I just want to encourage you today, if there's something in your life and you just feel like there's something you're asking for, there's nothing too small. There's nothing too big. But God's saying, hey, could it be that this is the same thing I want for you, but I need somebody that will pray? So my encouragement throughout this whole series is pray first. When you're facing these things, don't try to figure everything out in your own life by yourself. I can't tell you how many times, and I say this with humility this morning, I can't tell you how many times I've messed things up. And a lot of times, I'll tell you what, there's a direct connection to me messing things up. And the direct connection of me messing it up is me trying to do it my way. I have a feeling I'm not the only one. Can anybody else say, yeah, that's me too? But I think God's calling us. I know that God's calling us to say, hey, you can call on me first. I can help you, give you wisdom regarding your children. I can give you wisdom concerning your job. I can give you whatever it is you need, but would you not make me the last resort, but would you come and would you pray first? Because folks, a lot of the stakes are high. Wrong decisions can lead to a lot of pain. I can testify to that. A lot of wrong decisions can lead to a lot of pain. And I'm just saying, hey, when are we going to learn where we can come first? So here's our plan of attack, that we are going somewhere with this. We have a couple things I want to suggest to you. I'm declaring that we're going to have a week of prayer as a church. So I'm setting aside Sunday, August 4th, which is 2 weeks from today, through Saturday, August 10th, that's going to be a week in our church where we're going to pray. And one of the vehicles that I'm going to give you, because I want 100% participation, because I believe your prayers have power to change things, especially when there's corporate prayer, people coming together. So here's one of the things I'm going to do. On Sunday, August 4th, is I'm going to give you a prayer list of 10 to 15 things to pray for. 10 to 15 things. I haven't made up my mind yet. 10 to 15 things to pray for. And this prayer, week of prayer, is going to look totally different. We're trying to be creative because I know there's a lot of people who are busy. I know there's a lot of people who are fearful of even a corporate prayer meeting. So we're going to give you different ways where everybody can get involved. Everyone. One of my ideas is what I'm going to call drive-by prayer. My drive-by prayer is, could you at least pull in the church parking lot with your prayer list and pray for 1 minute for each one of those requests? You can do that. I've determined that week the doors of the church will be open for at least 12 hours from 6 to 6. We can even go 6 to 8, where the doors of the church will be open, where you can bring your list in and we can pray. Because, folks, I believe with all my heart that we're not even scratching the surface for what God wants to do in this place. I believe there's so much more that God wants to do in Journey Church, through Journey Church, and we need to be and I believe that God's saying, yeah, if you only knew what I wanted, if you only knew what I wanted to do in that church, you would probably be totally surprised. But could it be that God's waiting on a people? Will we humble ourselves and will we pray and will we seek after his face and turn from evil and will we bring our requests to the Lord? And during that week, I'm just asking you, hey, and then we'll share more of the schedule with you. There'll be times where we'll come in corporately, but we're going to stay with the prayer list. And I just want to encourage us, let's set aside that week where we as a church say we're going to be unified and we're going to come together as a church and we're going to believe God for some of the things that God has laid on my heart as your pastor. And we're going to begin to see some crazy good things happen. I think the fall is going to be a great fall in this church. I believe God wants to do great things, but it's not going to happen just because I think they're great things. They're going to happen because we pray. And one of the things I want to do is set aside this week, August 4th through the 10th, right before I go on vacation, we're going to pray and we're going to believe God. What do you think will happen if 100 people begin to pray and there's unity in prayer? And we begin to pray for the same things. And then we're going to try to implement more prayer into our weekly weekend services on Sunday. Folks, my conviction is this, that God chooses to work through prayer. Teenager, get this early in your life. God will work through your prayers. Nolan, even before you even think about that first date, let's pray that thing up. Why? Because wrong decisions can be very hurtful. Wrong decisions can set you back. But what would happen if on the front end of things, the front end, we'd say, gracious God who has all power, who knows all things, who is sovereign, do your thing. Do what you want to do. So that's my whole heart for this series. Next week, we'll be taking a look on how to pray, where to pray, all the different, just the simple dynamics. It's going to be very practical the next couple weeks. Because I really believe that we as a church have gotten stuck. There, I said it. And I think one of the things that we've gotten stuck with is there's been just a lack of prayer together as the body of Christ. Jesus said, "And my house shall be called what? A house of prayer for the nations." We can have all the right committees, and we got great minds, we got great leaders, we got great people. But man, better than great minds, great people, is we got a great God. And the great God is saying, "Hey, I work through your prayers." So what is it in your life? What is it in your life today that you're believing God for? What is it in your life that you want to have big faith about? What is it? I was in a service last night, and they were interviewing a missionary. And the pastor of the church asked the missionary in a Q&A, he said, how can we pray for you? And I thought the missionary would come back with some just cotton candy answer and say, "Well, just pray for me and my wife to be strengthened. And just pray for our finances." And you know what the missionary said? He said something that just stuck with me. That's going on my prayer list on August 4th through 10th. The missionary said, "Yeah, pray for miracles." I was like, dude, this guy's going big. Pray for miracles. And I'm like, God, that's what we need in this place. Amen. How many people know when life has changed, that's a miracle? How many people know when people come to Christ for salvation, that's a miracle? When people get set free of their bondage, because how many people know you can give your life to Christ, but you can still be in bondage? There needs to be a work that God continues to do. People, I want to see miracles in this house. Marriages restored, friendships restored, families restored. The house of God should be a place of power, a place of miracles. So why don't we do this morning? Just bow your head, if you would. So Lord, be with us on this journey, this week of prayer that we're preparing for. I pray that it be a week of power. I pray that it would be a week where we all decide that in one level or another, we're going to get engaged. We're going to be engaged in the battle for this church, the battle of our lives. And Lord, I just pray that you just do amazing things in Jesus' name.